Have you seen the price of gold lately? It's hitting all-time highs. And when it comes to investing in gold, check out Noble Gold Investments. They have a track record of excellence that's second to none. Just look at their thousands of five-star reviews on Trustpilot, Google, and the Better Business Bureau. Customers rave about their knowledgeable staff, smooth investment process, and life-changing results, which you can see for yourself online. That's the kind of reputation you can count on. But it's not just about the reviews. Noble Gold Investments truly care about their clients. They take the time to understand your unique needs and goals, and they give expert guidance every step of the way. That level of personalized service is rare in this industry. Look, when it comes to securing your financial future, you can't afford to take chances. Go with the gold company that has earned the trust of countless investors. Visit noblegoldinvestments.com/Tim Pool today and discover why Noble Gold Investments is the only choice for smart, secure gold investments. Or give them a call at 877-646-5347. Again, that number is 877-646-5347. Make sure to head over to timcast.com, click join us, and become a member to support our work directly, because this show is made possible thanks in part to viewers like you. If you like the work we do, become a member, and you'll also get access to uncensored, members-only shows from Timcast IRL, Monday through Thursday at 10 p.m. You can also join our Discord server and talk with like-minded individuals. Now, let's get into that first story. Man, that Joe Biden is so based, I guess. Biden administration discussing using Guantanamo Bay to process possible influx of Haitian migrants. Wow. I can't. You know, when I saw that headline earlier, I was like, well, okay, then. I'm kidding. I don't think based is the right answer. I think perhaps the right answer is no to the Haitian migrants who want to leave amid their ongoing low-level civil war, or civil war, whatever you want to call it. People in the media are calling it a low-scale civil war or something. But you've basically got these shock cannibals. And, you know, it's real tough to describe these individuals because they're not sustenance cannibals. That's the important distinction. I think it's funny that we had to create the distinction because everybody kept saying, oh, all right, let me slow down. In Haiti, government collapses, this gang leader seen on camera, eaten, human. And so everyone's like, look, there's cannibal gangs that are doing, and it's true, there are cannibal gangs, but they're not sustenance cannibals, meaning they have not killed people and consumed their flesh for the purpose of survival. It's a gang leader who's killed and torched people and then eaten parts of their flesh to terrorize and scare people. And that's real weird, but it does make him a cannibal, just not a sustenance. So cannibal gang is an accurate statement, but I do believe context is relevant. When I hear stories like this, I'm like, why would we bring any of these migrants to the United States? Now, I get it. Not every single person fleeing this is going to be a cannibal because they're not sustenance cannibals. It's just a crazy guy. But we got security issues right now, my friends. We've got an open border. We've got threats from foreign adversaries to the point where they're freaking out and wanting to ban TikTok. So then why would we open our doors to Haiti? Now, right now, Ron DeSantis is deploying the Florida State Guard. That's a crazy thing. When you're the governor of Florida, you get an army along with it. And he's deploying the State Guard to protect the state from Haitians who may try to illegally enter Florida. Well, good luck. I mean, it's going to be tough. You're going to get a lot of people fleeing this. And I don't blame people for wanting to flee these psychopaths, but I don't see it as the United States' responsibility. So I hear this story. The Biden administration wants to send them all to Gitmo. And I kind of have mixed feelings about it. You know, it's like, you know, the Biden administration saying we're not going to let them come to the United States is okay. It's based. I don't know if Gitmo is the right place for people fleeing this kind of violence. But I guess I got to tell you, if you were in this, look, the Dominican Republic is building a big border wall. So we hear. And if you were there, I think the average person in Haiti who's fleeing this degree of violence is probably going to be very happy to be at Gitmo. And just because Guantanamo Bay is notorious for, you know, this prison, you know, I hear there's a McDonald's there, right? It's not like the whole section of Guantanamo Bay is just one big prison. Maybe they'll just have them there on the island. Of course, Guantanamo Bay is on the same island as Cuba, a socialist paradise, as everyone knows. Here's the reporting from CNN. The Biden administration is discussing using Guantanamo Bay to process Haitian migrants if there is a mass exodus to the U.S. and worsening conditions in the country, according to a U.S. official. For years, Guantanamo Bay in Cuba, which is located about 200 miles from Haiti, has had a migrant center to hold and process migrants before returning them to Haiti or a third country. The center, which is separate from where terrorist suspects are held. Aw, man. You know, I was getting all excited. They were going to. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. So this is actually pretty good. Has been used before. In 2010, for example, the U.S. military prepared the site in anticipation of Haitians fleeing the earthquake-stricken country. But discussions to expand capacity at the site marked the latest sign of growing concern within the administration about people fleeing Haiti in droves as gangs attack government structures and social orders on the brink of collapse. Migrants from Haiti would likely attempt to reach Florida by sea in a journey that can be perilous. And the U.S. is weighing plans to take those interdicted at sea and transport them to Guantanamo for processing and potential repatriation. I like how that sounds. Send them back. We are clear-eyed that economic, political, and security instability are key drivers for migrants around the world. We are closely monitoring the situation and the routes frequently used by migrants to reach our borders. And at this time, irregular migration flows through the Caribbean remain low, a National Security Council spokesman told CNN. A Homeland Security spokesperson said that so far, migration from the Caribbean remains low. DHS is monitoring the situation in Haiti and coordinating closely with the State Department and international partners at this time. Irregular migration flows through the Caribbean remain low. Those interdicted at sea are subject to immediate repatriation pursuant to our longstanding policy and procedures. The United States returns or repatriates migrants interdicted at sea to the Bahamas, Cuba, the Dominican Republic, and Haiti. Haiti's government has been under a state of emergency since groups attacked the country's largest prison in Port-au-Prince earlier this month, killing and injuring police and staff and allowing some 3,500 inmates to escape. You know, I think it's very funny because I tweeted this thing. Do I actually have that tweet pulled up? Yes. NBC News, big mad because I tweeted this. I said, look at Haiti. Murder, chaos, cannibalism. They said Trump called Haiti and El Salvador ish-hole countries in a 2018 NBC News report. El Salvador is now safe and growing. They said Nayib Bukele was bad for arresting gangs. They said Trump was wrong. Look at the world they offered you. Now, what I'm laying out there is fairly clear, but murder, chaos, and cannibalism are literally happening in Haiti. It's a fact. It's a fact confirmed by NBC News. Yet they are insistent on smearing Elon Musk, me, Matt Walsh, and others for accurately pointing out what NBC News actually says is true. I want to remind all of you of why NBC News is evil. Why they're evil. Now, I do want to get to the news. I mean, I'll hit this one pretty quickly. Ron DeSantis deploys Florida State Guard to stop Haitian migrants. And so this is big news coming out yesterday and with an update today. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis has announced a deployment of over 250 additional officers and soldiers from the Florida State Guard, Division of Emergency Management and Law Enforcement Agencies, to the state's southern coast amid concern the political situation in Haiti could spark a new wave of illegal immigration. So good. We know about what's going on. There's the latest update. Good luck to Ron DeSantis. It's going to be tough because they're going to have boats coming. Leftists are going to be like, let them all in. And you don't know if a rival gang is fleeing Haiti. With this guy, this here barbecue guy, they call him, with him killing lots of people and even consuming some of their flesh, perhaps rival gangs will flee and try to enter the United States. That's dangerous. If we can't vet them, they can't come. You got to apply legally. That's how we do it. Well, here's the latest news. I love this. Elon Musk and right-wing influencers use cannibal claims to smear Haitian migrants amid crisis. I just love the obsession these people have with inaccurate reporting. Did I smear Haitian migrants? I did not. I said of no such thing. Look what I tweeted. I said, look at Haiti, murder, chaos, and cannibalism. They said Trump was wrong when he called it an ish-hole. I don't like to swear here. You know, keep it family friendly. and El Salvador are safe and growing. Those are two countries that Trump criticized. So look where they are now. I said nothing of Haitian migrants. And the cannibalism is true and correct. These are the games they play. These people are so despicable. David Ingram, these people. He writes, as Haiti faces an extreme political and societal crisis amid a wave of intense violence, tech billionaire Elon Musk and right-wing pundits online are weaponizing unverified claims of cannibalism coming out of the conflict to advance a political agenda on immigration. I didn't even mention immigration. I didn't even say anything about it. But they love to include me. Here we go. Let's jump to the point where they mention. So I see a tweet from Robbie Starbuck, and he's like, they're smearing, you know, this person, and Timcast for saying these things. And I was like, wait, what? They're smearing me? I didn't say anything that was false. Everything I said was true and factual. I didn't even criticize immigrants. Another high-profile pundit, right-wing content creator. Oh, they don't want to say journalist or podcast host. Cited the unverified allegations of Haitian cannibalism as proof that former President Donald Trump was justified in opposing immigration from Haiti. No, I didn't. They just make it up. Trump referred to Haiti and African nations as ishole countries during a meeting in 2018, NBC News reported. Poole did not respond to a request for comment or further evidence. Blah, 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 blah. The wave of cannibalism-related social media posts is insulting to Haitians and Haitian Americans, said Chris Nestor, a moderator of the r/Haiti message board on Reddit and a lawyer in Washington, D.C., whose parents were Haitian migrants. The funny thing about it, let's play that game, ladies and gentlemen, because I actually cited r/Haiti from Reddit specifically in my segment addressing what was going on. We'll pull this one up here.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
You got to switch to the old.reddit.com. And let's pull this up. Ah, Chris Nestor. Okay, gang situation reality check 11 months ago. This is posted on Reddit r/Haiti. And what do they say? Gangsters eating pieces of flesh off victims' bodies that were set on fire. Uh-huh. I cited your own forum. But I don't think I should. I'm not here to rag on this guy, Chris Nestor. He's not talking about me, I guess. But the wave of cannibalism-related social media posts is insulting to Haitians and Haitian Americans moderating the Haiti message board. My friend, it is your board where I verified claims were going back a year. I love it. Here's the best part. The article says the false claims are spreading while Haiti's in the grip of a real emergency. Armed groups have been fighting with each other, blah, blah, blah. Killing, hunger, and displacement are widespread. According to the UN, dead bodies are often left to decompose. The cruelty of Haitian gang leaders is not in dispute, nor is the widespread killing in the country during a years-long political crisis. But the false claims about widespread cannibalism go much further. What? Widespread. The State Department has not received any credible reports regarding cannibalism in Haiti, a spokesperson said Tuesday. Doctors Without Borders said they also had seen no evidence of cannibalism in the country. And Human Rights Watch said it had no information on the subject. There's literally a video of the guy eating the flesh off. I think it's a leg or something. Marlene Doe, a Yale University professor of French and African diaspora studies, said that American and European powers began spreading baseless tales of cannibalism, blah, blah, blah. After the Haitian Revolution, blah, 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 Musk shared a video from far-right commentator Matt Walsh about cannibal hordes of Haitians potentially migrating to the U.S., and as of late Tuesday, it had received more than 10 million views. Musk also boosted some of Chung's posts about alleged Haitian cannibalism with replies and likes. Representative for Musk and Walsh did not respond to requests for comment. What these guys do is they find the most obscure way to try and contact you and then are like, well, they never responded. Musk's choice of what to discuss online can have a wide impact. Blah, blah, blah. The claims shared by Musk have now traveled across the internet. On Reddit, moderators of the r/Haiti message board imposed a new rule to limit discussion of cannibalism after what they saw. Yada, yada, yada. We get it. Dom Luker, Tennessee-based poster on X, has become well-known for sharing misleading information, tweeted out one of the unverified videos Sunday and described it as breaking news. Although the video has been online since at least 2021, X later removed the video, but his post had 21 million views as of Tuesday. So the video is real. It has been confirmed by various news sources. It is 2 years old, 2.5 years old. And I said all of this in my initial coverage of what was going on in Haiti. Everything I said verified by NBC News. These people are just despicable liars. Robert Bunker, a counterterrorism researcher and former U.S. Army War College professor, said the videos purporting to show Haitian gang members reminded him of similar videos that drug cartels distributed in Mexico as a form of psychological warfare and intimidation. Kind of like what I was reporting, huh? He said the idea behind such a video is you're trying to appear as the people who are crazy because no one wants to mess with the crazies. Anyone accepting the videos at face value is in effect falling for their intimidation tactic. NBC News has not been able to verify any of the videos as authentic. Some of the most widely shared videos associated with the claims have been online for 2 years or longer. Perhaps if you did any basic research into the subject and contacted literally anyone who's covered the issue of Haiti, they would tell you this because I actually did basic fact checking. And it wasn't that hard to fact check. So blah, 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 blah. In 2019, as Cheritier, I'm assuming I pronounced his name, was rising to power, the AP, he told the AP that he got the nickname Barbecue as a child because his mother was a street vendor who sold fried chicken, not, as others have said at the time, because he was accused of setting people on fire. He has since been sanctioned, yada, yada. Now, some people on social media have reinterpreted the nickname as a reference to cannibalism, despite a lack of evidence. And that has nothing to do with me. But Matt Walsh lays it out. I love it. NBC publishes an article accusing me, Elon, and other conservative influencers of spreading unverified claims of Haitian cannibalism. They then proceed to verify the claims themselves in the fourth paragraph of the article. Okay. I could just read the screenshot from Matt Walsh, but I want to actually read the news article. The accusations of widespread cannibalism are based on what experts said was a likely intimidation tactic from select gang members. In some videos, the most prominent examples being at least 2 years old, alleged members of violent gangs in Haiti appear to bite into human flesh. Experts said these videos are likely part of propaganda campaigns designed to scare rivals and terrorize local Haitians rather than a reflection of common or normalized behavior. One former armed group went by the name Cannibal Army. So there's a group called the Cannibal Army, and they're in videos biting into human flesh. Okay. Now, I suppose the argument there is, but did they swallow? They may be biting into human flesh, but they didn't swallow. It's like when, who was it? Bill Clinton said, I did smoke marijuana, but I didn't inhale. Was that what he said? And then I think Barack Obama was like, yeah, I smoked. And I'm pretty sure Barack Obama was also like, and I did cocaine when I was in college. So welcome to the American presidential system, I suppose, politics. They say Ian Miles Chung, a right-wing commentator, helped kick off the frenzy last week on X, writing, there were cannibal gangs in Haiti who abduct and eat people. Now, look, fair point. It is a leap. And it is fair to say, if the intention of the gangs is to intimidate, and we accurately covered this here at TimCast, then perhaps it is wrong to say cannibal gangs are going to eat people. And perhaps it is a leap because, you know, look, they're biting into flesh. They're seen, it's eating. I don't know what to call it. NBC News can make the argument, but they may have bitten into the leg and the flesh, but they're not actually eating it. So they're not cannibals. And I'm just like, you know, look, man, you're playing dirty games and everyone knows it. They are intending to appear as cannibals on purpose. Now, as many others have reported, it is an intimidation tactic. So what about my post warrants inclusion in your ridiculous article when I said murder, caste, and cannibalism? But it's true. There are cannibal gangs. They're on video eating human flesh. Again, fine, fair point. Maybe they're not swallowing the meat. If that's going to be your argument, sure. And I didn't say anything about Haitian migrants. My point was more about El Salvador. Nayib Bukele cracks down on the gangs and begins arresting everybody. And the corporate press attacks him for it. And they say he's an authoritarian, he's a despot. Oh, how could you live in such a place? And now there is wealth. He banked his country's population. You know what I mean? What I mean is so many people in El Salvador were poor and had no access to banking. And he said, Bitcoin, baby. And now all of a sudden, people have a means of digitally storing their wealth and quickly doing transactions. He has expanded this economy tremendously. Look what they say about Javier Milei. Afuera. They hate the guy. And inflation is dropping. crime is dropping. Now, some people are saying, we'll see, we'll see. It's very early and fair point. But this is the world they're offering you. The reason why NBC News is running this article is because they want to have an inversion of the argument. The argument being, should we bring in Haitian refugees or migrants? And the answer is a resounding no, we shouldn't. I think it's a better argument for Haiti than literally any other country. It's a Caribbean nation. The U.S. is not that far away, but there's other places they could be. The U.S. is sending Marines and to do security at the embassy, and things are getting pretty bad. Don't get me wrong. But Guantanamo Bay seems to make a little bit of sense. And so I say of the Biden admin based, it's the right move. They're not going to prison. They're not going to a terror prison. They're going to a migrant processing center at Guantanamo Bay. And they'll be processed there and likely repatriated. That makes a lot of sense. That's the way things should be done. It's kind of remarkable. So here I am. I love this. Finally agreeing with the Biden administration on something. Although I do agree with the TikTok ban, but that's a divestiture. That's a whole other complicated issue that I think most people don't even understand. And I'm glad to see that a lot of people are starting to understand because we are desperately fighting through the propaganda. I do think it's funny that I find myself in agreement with Dan Crenshaw, but I think the TikTok stuff shows that people have PTSD. That it's like, look, I'll tell you all the time. I say a million times. If Biden does something good, I'm going to agree with it. I'm going to say it's good. Joe Biden wants to get, the Biden administration is fighting junk fees for banks. I completely agree with that. There's a, I can't remember which comedian said it. They said, maybe it was Mitch Hedberg or something. No, I don't know. When you're poor, the bank charges you money. They say you have insufficient funds. So I get a $35 charge from my bank account, putting me negative because I didn't have enough money in my account. And if you're rich, they give you money. You get more for free. Yeah, it's an insane system. Now, I understand the system of interest. If I put my money in the bank can utilize that towards fractional reserve loan systems, although I think there's, I don't know if they ever brought the limit back. And technically, they don't need my money anymore. But the idea is, if your money's in the bank, it allows them a reserve to make money. And so they owe you interest on the money you put in there. But this idea that if you don't have enough money, they're going to put you negative and then keep charging you is absolutely insane. So the Biden administration says we're gonna fight these junk fees and keep these costs down so that people can keep more of their own money and not be screwed over by these banks. Right on. It's a good play. It's a good move. I agree with student loan forgiveness in the form of interest rates. I don't agree with what Joe Biden's doing. But in this instance, sending them to Guantanamo Bay for processing is the right move. You want to come to the United States? Sending you somewhere else. Hey, I agree with that. When it comes to TikTok ban, I read through the bill and I think all of these pundits are wrong and they are not reading the full content of the bill and explain what the bill actually does. And I think it's a form of PTSD or I mean, distrust is probably a better way to put it. When someone like Dan Crenshaw comes out and says they're wrong, this is a good bill, I'm not surprised people are like, okay, wait a minute. But in terms of what I believe and what I'm going to tell you, I'll tell you this. If something is true and makes sense, I will explain why I think it does make sense. I don't care about political tribes or factions. That will never be the case. Which means, as I've stated a long time ago, back during Occupy, I said sooner or later, y'all are going to be mad at me because I'm going to say something that offends your delicate worldview. And then I said the same thing of Trump supporters. And then in 2021, when I was like, Trump did not win, Biden won. All the fraud narrative, CIA stuff, server hacks, flipped votes. It's not correct. They got mad at me. Trump supporters got mad at me. Not all of them, but, you know, the most ardent and hardcore. I'm going to tell you what I think is true and correct. And I get things wrong quite a bit. That's the reality. But I'm never going to lie to try and earn brownie points with anybody. And if that means at some point people just simply say, Tim, we don't want the truth, then so be it. So be it. Right now, the issue is this. The cannibal gangs thing is true. If you eat a person for any reason, you're a cannibal. Okay? That's it. Now, if you're cooking and eating people on a regular basis, we will draw a distinction. Sustenance cannibalism. But these gangs have literally been seen on video eating human flesh. And it is to intimidate you And I suppose, again, you can argue, well, we don't know if they actually swallowed the meat, but that's just like it's a ridiculous distinction, okay? They're biting into human. This makes them cannibals, okay? Intimidation cannibalism. That's it. They're doing it to scare you. Right. It's disgusting. And that's it. Do we want gang members willing to do this to come to the United States? How is the message wrong? I think it's fair if NBC News were to say a title that said fact-checking the cannibalism claim. And my assessment would be, while it may be hyperbolic or misinterpretation when many people refer to these groups as cannibals eating humans, it is important to understand this was the stated goal of these gangs, and they are seen on video eating people. While the real issue is intimidation, they're still cannibals. But of course, you can always trust NBC News to lie. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I look forward to seeing how the Biden administration handles this. Also, I love this big news, SpaceX launching the world's most powerful rocket. This is based and very, very cool. But in the meantime, with the Haitian crisis, I say, OK, I'm with the Biden admin on this one. This is the right move. I think Trump would agree. I'll leave it there. Next segment's coming up at 1 p.m. on this channel. Thanks for hanging out, and I'll see you all then. There are many people making the argument right now that the bipartisan move to ban TikTok has everything to do with government control of our communications. And that's partially true. The argument is that this is an opportunity to gain control of the narrative machine that they're losing, to seize control or shut down X and Rumble. And TikTok is the attack vector because Republicans back in 2020 were actively trying to ban TikTok. Now, the issue for Republicans is actually quite simple. TikTok promotes leftist ideology to an extreme degree. Whatever is behind the algorithm, you know, they argue it's just what teenagers want. I don't believe it for a second. TikTok actively promotes degenerate content which causes self-harm. Fact. Instagram's not too far off, but TikTok is substantially worse. We don't know what they're doing with the data. We don't know how their algorithm operates, and it is a massive detriment to us and young people in the West. So for this, Republicans made the argument they're taking your data and China's an adversary, so we should ban them unless they divest from China. This was an effort to get TikTok under the control of American interests, which would very much empower the deep state, the U.S. government, and give them another platform they could control. But the reason why TikTok is now actually facing a ban has very little to do with this and everything to do with Israel. I cannot stand Israel-Palestine derangement syndrome, be it from those who are like, this is the worst thing that has ever could possibly happen ever. No. Holy crap. There are a lot of crises happening in the world. There are concentration camps. There are slavers. There is rampant sexual abuse and murder. You take a look at Afghanistan. You take a look at Yemen, the 100,000 children who have died in the past several years from a combination of resource restriction and war, starvation, and outright murder. And people are still screaming and ripping their faces off over Palestine. I'm not saying to ignore Palestine. I'm not saying Israel's innocent. I'm not saying Israel should not have defended. I'm not saying any of that. I'm saying conflicts exist everywhere. And this obsession is insane. But one thing that I find truly fascinating is that the insanity has brought us to this point. I'll tell you exactly what happens and why we are where we are. I believe that TikTok should be forced to divest. I don't care about all of these arguments that people are making. It seems to be nonsensical. There are many people on social media, namely X, saying they want to ban X. Sagar and Jetty has pointed out perfectly, excellently, two huge things. The bill would not allow this. I've argued the same thing. If your argument is that the federal government and Democrats are corrupt and do corrupt things, then what does the bill have to do with any of it? They'll abuse it. They don't need this bill to shut down X or Rumble. They could issue a national security letter like they've done to numerous web providers in the past, and they do it to this day, to seize control of them. They don't need to shut them down. These companies are already operating in the United States, and the NSA can already easily seize their data and, again, issue a national security letter. They want to bring TikTok into the fold. Simply put, if your argument is that they'll abuse their power, the bill means nothing. And if your argument is that the bill is bad, I feel like you haven't read the bill. Not that I think any bill from the government is typically a great thing. The idea that because Facebook is bad, we should allow China to influence us. It's the weirdest thing imaginable. And this is where I get really, really sick of the Israel-Palestine derangement syndrome people. I feel so much more, you know, passion against the Trump derangement syndrome people, because it's just like you have lost your mind when you think these things of Trump. But the Israel-Palestine stuff is also just very, very nuts. Okay, so here's what happens. TikTok begins promoting pro-Palestine content, sparking a massive controversy, resulting in Democrats who support Israel saying, "We gotta ban it! We gotta ban it!" And now other Republicans are going, "We've been telling ya." See, back in the day, we have this story. This is from Time Magazine, "Why Trump Flipped on TikTok." And it basically breaks this point down, which I believe is absolutely correct. But there are many people that I consider friends on X saying the government wants control. And I'm like, please, please read the bill. Please read it. The bill is weak, almost entirely and specifically targeting TikTok and targeting very little others. But people keep posting out of context clips from the bill and saying, "What about this, Tim?" I'm like, did you read the subparagraph after that that says everything you just argued can't happen? But they'll abuse it anyway. Yes. They will. They will abuse this and literally everything else, and they will do things that are illegal. The bill doesn't matter. They don't need this bill to go after X and Rumble. Let me stress that right now. The NSA has already tapped into those servers and stealing whatever they want. And if they want to control them, they need write only a single sheet that says national security on it, and they can immediately go in and seize control. The only risk there, I guess, is that X or Rumble can come out and be like, this is what they're trying to do to us. But were that the case with any platform moving forward, it would be the exact same circumstance. In the event the TikTok divestment bill happens and the president declares Trump a Russian agent, therefore he must divest from Truth Social, he would have to publicly declare this, creating a massive political controversy, to which I hear from all the Republicans that the targeting of Trump has boosted him in the polls. In which case, how would they... I literally don't see the logic. But I want to show you the issue of Israel before we get into all the other domestic politics stuff, because I think it's very important we talk about how support for Israel is the reason this bill is happening. So let's just say this. By all means, disagree with me if you want to. Tell me I'm wrong. That's fine. Say TikTok should stay. By all means. You may be wondering why it is this bill is being pushed so heavily, and Israel is the principal component. I am not suggesting that Israelis are literally going to the United States to draft this legislation. I'm saying that there are many people in this country who support U.S. military endeavors, whether it's Israel or otherwise. And TikTok was promoting Palestinian content that made Israel look bad, undermining U.S. foreign policy. For many people who support Israel, the issue is very simple. We love Israel, they say. Therefore, TikTok bad. For the people who love Palestine, they say, don't ban TikTok. It's government control. Certainly, there are real arguments from real people about why the TikTok ban divestment bill, which could result in a ban, shouldn't go through. But I got to tell you, there are way too many people that hate Israel that are now coming out being like, it's actually good that China has the ability to directly influence the young people of this country. Yuri Bezmenov was wrong. This is what I can't stand. It is fine to say that TikTok should not influence our young people, and so we should force a divestment. It is fine to say TikTok was promoting content that was defensive of Palestine and critical of Israel. It is fine to say that you support one over the other, and the U.S. government will try to suppress anti-Israel content. All of those things are fine. But what annoys me is that there are people who are making fake arguments as to why they're trying to shut down TikTok. The government's trying to seize control. No, the government is trying to protect its foreign policy. The government wants to blow up brown kids all around the world, and it doesn't want anyone getting in its way. Let's be honest about what's going on. That doesn't mean we should let China run an algorithm that sends degenerate garbage to American young people. Not that I like Facebook or Instagram doing it either. That's something we have to deal with too. But if we get a chance to stop China from doing it, why would we not? And they're actually taking data. So here's a story from yesterday. Major U.S. Jewish groups back bipartisan bill that could see TikTok banned. Jewish Federations of North America says it supports the proposed law due to concerns of anti-Semitism proliferating on the platform. This is plain as day and obvious. These people aren't hiding their concerns. I bring you now to October. This is October 31st. Evidence that suggests TikTok was intentionally propping up pro-Palestine content. Many people made the argument, especially on the left, no, TikTok's not doing this. It's just that people are defensive of Palestine. Wrong. And I have the data to show you. We went over this back when this story happened, but I'll bring it up for you again in this context. Sarah Fisher for Axios writes, on TikTok, views of pro-Palestine posts far surpass views of pro-Israel posts. Now, there have been many media analysts who are not apartisan, who pointed out the data we're seeing suggests intentional actions by TikTok. Take a look at this. Global posts and views of select hashtags on TikTok. October 16th to the 23rd, 2023, shortly after October 7th, there were 123,000 posts, hashtag stand with Palestine. There were 8,000 posts, stand with Israel. Despite the fact the stand with Israel posts were substantially less, they received 12 million views. Despite the fact that there were 123,000 posts for Palestine, only 11 million views. I do not believe this would show TikTok suppressing support for Palestine. The reason being, the trends had just emerged and TikTok would not have had any real time to react. It's possible, but the following week, you can see a massive spike. Despite the fact that Stand With Palestine posts went way down to 87,000, their views skyrocketed to 285 million. And despite the fact that Stand With Israel ran around the same, it skyrocketed to about 64 million. But how? Such a dramatic change from one week to the next. A lot of reasons. It could be organic, 100%. But I believe, and some other data researchers believe, this is indicative of TikTok altering its algorithm or intentionally promoting Palestine. It could be that it was inadvertently promoting Palestine because of gamification of the system, but I believe it's more indicative of an intentional shift. What I see with the first week with hashtag Stand With Israel was that it was more popular. 8,000 posts, 12 million people were viewing them because what happened October 7th was horrifying. And the reason why nobody was viewing the Stand With Palestine content is that Hamas stormed into Israel and, you know, killed a bunch of people. But why then in the next week did it shift? This is well before there was, you know, a ground incursion or anything that's going on right now. 285 million posts skyrocketing. This says to me, something that was deemed to be less than popular instantly became popular. Now, 87,000 posts, substantially less, but getting more views, proportionally more views. The propaganda game is afoot. It's entirely possible TikTok had nothing to do with it and that it was a sock puppet game. They go on to say in the Axios article, let me pull it up. According to TikTok's data, the Stand With Palestine hashtag is most popular in Malaysia, Pakistan, the Emirates, Bahrain, and Qatar. Stand With Israel was most popular in Israel, followed by Malaysia, Greece, Lithuania, and Croatia. So it would seem that pro-Palestinian government efforts may have been at play here. So let's entertain two possibilities. One, TikTok altered its algorithm to promote Stand With Palestine. I believe that is a strong possibility. I don't know for sure. Why? Chinese Communist Party interests undermining American foreign policy in the Middle East. I'm not saying the U.S. should be involved. I'm not saying it's good. I oppose U.S. foreign policy in most of its forms. I believe we should stop funding all of these wars, bring our troops back, guard our border, bring our jobs back, etc. I don't see why we're funding all this stuff. I know they can make the argument that Israel's a strong ally in the Middle East, and I'm just like, dude, I don't care for any of it. China, however, recognizes that whether or not Tim Pool or any of us more libertarian-leaning individuals oppose the war, they know that the U.S. government is doing it. So if they promote pro-Palestine over pro-Israel, it's not that China cares for Israel or Palestine. It's that they want to undermine U.S. foreign policy, which this does. That being said, it's entirely possible that what we're seeing with this hashtag from Malaysia, Pakistan, Emirates, Bahrain, and Qatar is pro-Palestinian efforts in these countries to undermine Israel's policy and undermine the U.S. Hard to know for sure, because Bahrain, you know, they got some deals with the United States and, you know, and so does Qatar. But for the most part, yeah. Now, if it is not TikTok that is doing this intentionally, the U.S. still faces another major problem. Foreign governments can manipulate TikTok into undermining foreign policy, and the U.S. can do nothing about it. So the U.S. wants to take control. I believe it is a fact that the U.S. does want TikTok under American interests to give it more control over the platform. 100%. And then I would add, it is a difficult decision, but my friends, I would rather the U.S. government have control of a platform than communist China. I do not believe communist China is going to try and create any kind of content that's good for us. Facebook promotes bad stuff. TikTok, Instagram, these platforms all do. Rumble and X are pretty good. However, despite the fact that Instagram and Facebook promote garbage and so does Snapchat, it is still better that we in the United States have the ability to FOIA, force testimony, and target TikTok for its wrongdoings. We are not going to be better off with TikTok promoting wokeness and far-left insanity. We have limited recourse. This bill, at the very least, allows us to try and go after them for, I don't know, FOIA requests if it's divested. Now, China is saying they won't do it. The U.S. wants ByteDance to sell TikTok. China is almost certainly going to refuse. And their argument from the CEO is this could destroy 300,000 jobs. You want to know why Trump flip-flopped on TikTok? I'll tell you. I believe that Donald Trump initially was opposed to TikTok, as were many Republicans, because it was promoting leftist ideology and jeopardizing their political campaigns. Principal issue. We saw TikTok put out push notifications telling their users to call Congress. That is immense and insane political power for the Chinese Communist Party. I don't think we can tolerate that. I don't like Mark Zuckerberg. I don't like the woke left or the Democrats, but I certainly think communist China is worse. I don't want Joe Biden cutting deals with the Chinese Communist Party and doing private equity deals. I don't want them to bypass the entirety of the system and just go straight into the veins of our young people. Donald Trump, the Republicans, I and many others saw the problem. TikTok was promoting far left insanity, undermining Republican campaigns. Not that it's going to have a significant impact on elections in the immediate, though the push notifications may, but it will craft a generation of psychopaths and woke far leftists for the years to come. Not a good thing. Well, it lost in the courts. Trump was unable to actually ban TikTok, demanding they divest. Democrats said, no, don't do it. But then Israel happened. And now many Democrats who are pro-Israel and have pro-Israel constituents are worried. They're getting phone calls saying, why are you allowing this and why didn't you ban it? Republicans, understanding that TikTok is coming after them, have said, hey, look, let's just get this through. TikTok is bad. Now Democrats are finally on board. This is why Donald Trump has flip-flopped. Joe Biden coming out saying that he's going to ban TikTok means young people will be in revolt and Trump can say, we shouldn't do it. We should protect what the kids want. I believe Trump is wrong to do this. I believe Trump should come out and say, here's the harsh reality. It's bad. Now, of course, the CEO of TikTok comes out and says, but this will end jobs. The reason why many people are now coming out in defense of TikTok is because TikTok gave them platforms. That's the reality. I have warned about this and I will warn about it now. And I am telling these people who are like, no, we shouldn't force divestment. Look. You got bad Democrat corruption, deep state corruption, Chinese Communist Party, infinitely worse. I've long said when it comes to Russia versus Biden, Putin versus Biden, I'm on Biden's side. Biden's a corrupt guy. He's an evil guy. He undermines this country. He's destroying this country, but he's destroying it slower, I guess. I'm not saying I'm happy, but at least Joe Biden lives here and he has family here. So I can respect that he would much prefer it not to get nuked. Not that I like the guy or think he's anything but corrupt. I don't like Democrats. I don't like Zuckerberg. I think the deep state will lie, cheat, and steal. But the Communist Party of China is an existential threat to us. Letting them influence our young people is a serious threat. I don't have any good answers for you. But what's happened now, as I've warned, is this. Let's start by saying this. How to start nondescript social media platform and take over the world. I am describing no social media platform, but you can assert whatever you want. Believe whatever you want to believe. Let's say a new social media app appears in the scene late in the game. And all of a sudden, it starts gaining a major foothold. Young people are using it. How could this be? I mean, many people have tried launching social networks. Nobody can beat the likes of, I don't know, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Here's what you do. And I recommend you do this right now. Sure. Well, I shouldn't say that, so I don't recommend you do it. I'm being facetious, but I will explain that companies do this. Launch a social media network called... Socialcast. There you go. and run advertisements for it on Instagram and Facebook and X. Socialcast is the cool place where you can make video game videos really easily. The way it works is you can film yourself and the video game you're playing will automatically appear behind you, just like TikTok does, right? And then you can talk about the game you're playing. It's for those who like video games. Then what you do is you hire 30 young people to produce videos for your new platform. You reach out to them on Instagram or YouTube or whatever and say, hey, we're launching a new platform. We'll pay you $2,000 if you make a couple videos. And they'll go, for real? And what you really want to do is you want to target some young people who don't have big followings, maybe a couple hundred followers or 1,000. And, you know, maybe like 16, 17, 18 and say, are you able to do this? Is this something we can do? We'll pay you $1,000 to make 5 videos. And they'll go, $1,000, 5 videos. Here's the best part. They make the content. You run that content as advertisements on other platforms, saying of someone playing a video game and being like, and this cool music, and they're like, yes, victory. This will attract some new users. But for the most part, you might only have like 1,000 users. Then what this company could do is these young people that sign up, all of a sudden they make some videos. Dude, they're getting followers. They went from 100 to 1,000 in a week. Tons of comments. Bro, awesome video. I love your content, dude. 17-year-old kid in high school sitting there with a smug look on his face. And he's like, what's going on, dudes? And they're like, why are you looking so smug? Oh, it's whatever. I'm just going to make a video for this new platform. Got paid to do it. It's called Socialcast. And they'll say, what? What's that? Yeah, you know, it's like TikTok, but I make video game videos. And they'll be like, why are you acting so smug? Oh, I got 3,000 followers. You got 3,000 followers? Nuh-uh. Bro, check it out. On Socialcast, I have 3,000 followers. Are you even on Socialcast? Bro, you're a loser. I'm exaggerating. But what happens is these young people get love bombed by bots. The person who runs the platform will make fake accounts to follow these young people and make them feel like they're succeeding. Dopamine hit. Ding. Your points are going up, baby. The more you post videos, the more followers you get, the more views you get. But you didn't realize the views, the videos, the likes, they're all fake. But it feels so real. You're not making money or anything on it. But boy, are you getting that social validation. Then the other kids in the high school start going, dude, did you see Rick's on Socialcast? He's got 3,000 followers. Then Rick walks in with his leather jacket and cool aviators and goes, 3,000? I'm at 10,000 already. I'm famous. And they go, what? I want to be on Socialcast? And so then they all sign up too, desperately trying to get those followers. And then what do? The same thing. And one by one, the kids are signing up for a network where a bunch of bots are telling them, you're so cool and I love your content. Now all the kids are competing who can get the most followers. They're sharing it with their friends and they're going like, nah, I don't use TikTok or X. I'm on Socialcast. Really? What's that? Yeah, follow me if you want to hang out. Then some 17-year-old kid's at the mall and he meets some girl and it's like, what's your Socialcast handle? And she goes, Socialcast? I don't use it. Oh, I'm pretty big on Socialcast. Imagine all the young guys trying to flex being like, what's up, girl? Hey, are you on Socialcast? And they're like, no. And it's like, you got to follow me. I've got 10,000 followers. Trying to look impressive. That's how the game is played. So what happens for Republicans? Well, I'll put it this way. If not describing any particular social media platform, if I was a social media platform that was run by an adversary of the United States and I was worried we were going to get banned, what I would do is I would start sending followers the way of some of these prominent individuals. Young people who are more right-leaning would gain more and more followers. And then when the effort comes to ban them because they're trying to manipulate young people, they'll go, no, don't ban it. Why is that? Oh, because you've got 300,000 followers on that platform, right? Right. Now that you've got a big following there, you don't want to lose access to that audience. Create the addiction, run the ads, build the network, and then you'll end up with people being like, please, please, don't ban me. That's what's happening. Republicans now feeling like they have an advantage on the platform don't want to see it go. It's a mistake. TikTok should divest from the CCP. End of story. We shouldn't ban it. We shouldn't have to ban it. We should simply say, if we are not allowed to operate a business in China and we have to build special apps under their security lockdown, why would we not reciprocate? I once had to get a visa to go to Brazil. For 10 years, I had this visa. It expired not that long ago. I haven't been there in a long time. The reason is the U.S. requires visas for Brazilians, so Brazil says we reciprocate. If you want to come here, you need a visa. If we want to go there, we need a visa. Fine, so be it. China says, U.S. tech companies can't operate in their borders unless they follow the rules of the CCP. Why would we not do the same thing? And people are like, yes, but it empowers American social media. So what? They're already a problem. What benefit do we get from China undermining our young people? You do a deal with the devil, I guarantee you it will come back to haunt you. You think that when the devil approaches you and says, I will give you the means to communicate outside the control of your deep state, and you're like, this sounds like a really good deal. And then what he does is he poisons your conversations. And then one day, as your skin is gaunt and your eyes are sunken in and you're struggling to breathe, you go, but why? We did a deal with you. And he goes, because I want all of you crushed. The CCP does not like you. The CCP does not support or oppose Palestine, Israel. The CCP does not care for woke or otherwise. The CCP will not protect Republicans. What they want is everyone in this country to be undermined so they can win on the global stage. The devil comes to you and offers you the deal, and you think, but if we do a deal, he'll protect me. And then in the end, you're all gutted. And you think you've been betrayed. And he says, I was never on your side. I used you to undermine your own country. That's currently where we're at. I have no problem pissing off young people and those addicted to TikTok and those paranoid by saying, this is what I see happening. And maybe I'm wrong. I don't think I am. And that's why I'm arguing my position. My favorite thing ever about these whingers on Timcast IRL is like, there goes Tim thinking he's right about everything. Who goes on a show ever and says, I'm now going to say something I think I'm wrong about? Typically, if I do, I'll be like, maybe I'm wrong, but here's what I think. Of course, I'm going to argue what I think is right. And if someone argues with me and the argument's not strong, I'm not going to budge on my argument. But we've certainly had instances where I was wrong. I'll give you an example. Seamus and I had a discussion about abortion. I made the argument that abortion could involve removing a stillbirth, a baby that dies in the womb. I was wrong. I came out a week later and said I was completely wrong about that. We ended up reading the definitions and Seamus was correct. No problem saying that. Right here, I think I am completely right as to what is going on and what should be done. And it's not easy. And the Democrats and the deep state, they will be corrupt and they will abuse their power. Pick your poison. Welcome to the nightmare. I'll leave it there. Next segment's coming up at 4 p.m. on this channel. Thanks for hanging out, and I'll see you all then. I think maybe we should just make a channel dedicated entirely to Gen Z in crisis. We have another viral video of a young person talking about how they cannot afford to live this way. And there's so much to break down in this. Now, there's certainly some people who are blaming this young woman and blaming many for voting for Joe Biden, voting Democrat over and over again. I certainly sympathize with that sentiment, and I would strongly encourage many young people to vote for Donald Trump and Republicans. Not that he's perfect, not that he's great. It's just simply the Democrat plan with a mass influx of criminal aliens who are being given government benefits, tax dollars that you were actually supposed to be inheriting. In terms of infrastructure and what this nation has to offer its young people, it's being given away. Inflation, war, conflict, crisis, none of it will improve your circumstances. And while Donald Trump certainly is not the most perfect guy, certainly a deeply flawed character, well, money talks. You vote for this guy, you're likely going to see the economy improve. And I think most people realize that now because during the Trump administration, economy actually was really great. Famously, Jim Cramer, who's basically wrong about everything all the time, said the best numbers of our lives. And it was true. Unemployment rates were low, but high enough to allow some flexibility in the job market. There's a lot to talk about in terms of culture as to why what we're seeing cannot be solved simply by elections at the same time. So the first thing I want to do is actually just play this clip so you can hear what this young woman has to say. I think it's very important. But then we're going to break down the problems that we're facing today. And I want to give some advice to young people like this young lady. So if you know anybody who's dealing with this stuff, consider sharing this with them. And we'll talk about ways to improve your position.
This is the first month I won't be able to afford rent. I'm not a rich person. I don't have a lot of stuff. I have basic household necessities, a couch, a bed, washer, a dryer. That's about it. A car. I don't have a lot of lavish things. I don't go on vacations and I don't spend a lot. Rent's increased from $1,300 to $1,800. The food prices are too high. I've cut back on eating because I literally cannot afford food. I've cut back on my favorite snacks, cat food, treats. I'm exhausted all the time from being overworked and underpaid. You don't catch a break when you grow up poor. I don't need much to be happy. I just want to be able to live comfortable. I just really need to catch a break right now. I'm trying so hard and I feel like I'm not doing enough. I don't have family. I don't have anything to fall back on.
She says, I don't have family. I don't have anything to fall back on. I'm going to have to address the most important element of this. Never, never in human history did young women go off and live on their own successfully. I will say this again. Never, never in human history. Now, for men, I would argue it's comparably true, but I think the issue is, well, in terms of societal structure and gender norms, men were always typically expendable. So a man that ended up living off on his own, like probably, you know, possible, but we would not call that good circumstances. Typically, for younger women, their families would take care of them. And then they would get married to into a strong family. Not always, not completely. Certainly, there are historical moments where raiders and Vikings captured and these women. My point is simply this: in general, generally speaking, the way human civilization has worked is that everyone lived together all the time. When you would get your first house, it's typically because you were starting a family, you were getting married and have kids, and now you needed the space for a family. But if you weren't married, you were probably a teenager and living at home. The issue that we're seeing right now, a lot of this has a lot to do with economic policy that's failing. It has a lot to do with women in the workplace, the expansion of the job labor pool without a comparable expansion of labor opportunities. At the same time, the flooding of criminal aliens, which suppress job opportunities. There's so much to break down here. The first thing I'll say is these problems are solvable today. And it starts with cutting illegal immigration. The jobs that are available would pay better if there were less people competing at the lower skill levels. When the Democrats allow, like Joe Biden, these criminal aliens to come in and prop them up and support them, you end up with people competing for the same work. This means that there is a suppression of pay rates. There's no way to stop that. It's just a fact. If there is one job and 100 people and they're fighting over it, the cost of that job goes dramatically down because everyone's competing to get the cheaper job. And it's tough. You can't just pay more, because then where does that money come from when you have tons of hungry people aren't buying anything? So it's complicated. What I would say for this young woman is that first and foremost, the idea that you can live in your apartment by yourself is ridiculous. That's never been the case. Even when, like, it's this weird thing that emerged. I don't know when. This idea that a single human, I mean, like single, like not non-coupled, could afford their own place. It's insane. It's an insane luxury to have your own apartment. That being said, I believe this woman should be able to own her own home, have a family, and subsist off of a single income. What that means is a significant other and a shared workload where there is a work-life balance between the two individuals. That's how things used to be. Ma'am, with all due respect, have you stopped to consider why it is you believe you can have your own place to live by yourself and work on a single income and maintain all of this stuff? If we were to go back in time, you take a look at when single family households were able to sustain a full house and a car and vacation and all that stuff. You had someone raising a family. You did not have women competing in the labor market. That meant that if you wanted the best talent for work, it was typically going to be a guy, and he was going to say, I have a family, need more money. Good luck. Something changed. When feminism erupts, and it's throughout 100 years, but when we get to the point where women are now competing in the labor market and they're told you have to get jobs, you create a circumstance I believe that many women do not like. Guys thrive on competition and object-oriented pursuits. Clearly, she does not. And I'm not saying all women, and that's the problem. A system that tells a woman she can't pursue these things is a bad system. A system that forces women to do it is also a bad system. But this is where we are, the worst of both worlds, and I don't necessarily know what the solution is. But I think it's important to track the historical context of You've never been able to do things like this. It was the utmost wealth. This young woman is the apex of global human wealth throughout history. The fact that she was even able to sustain her own place to live with a pet and a car is a testament to the successes of the United States. But the golden age is over, my friends. We're going to be going back to the way things used to be. A child was born and a family had 9 kids and they all lived together in the same house. And when you were getting married, this is how it used to be. A guy would say, oh, this is a beautiful woman. I want to marry her and have a family. Go to the father and say, can I have your permission to marry your daughter? He'd say, you know, yes or no. And typically it's like, and I'm not saying every single circumstance was like this. There are certainly shotgun weddings and there was raids and there's rape. But in the United States, going back only a few hundred years, the general tradition is as follows. And so the funny thing is, land was easier to come by. And they would just like build you a house somewhere. The family's going to come together. We're going to help build a house. And then you're going to have kids and have a family too. We're in a different age. Times have changed. Property is harder to come by. There are much more people. And if you want to live in a city, things are owned by someone else. I recommend moving somewhere else and living a much more humbler way of life. This idea that you can live in a city on a single income, it's not normal for the history of this planet. Now, I do think if this woman was stressed out and didn't want to worry about this, she has an option. Historically, what she could do is she could find a high value man who generates a large sum of money enough to sustain this house and offer him something he would want in exchange. Now, typically, that would be a family and companionship and emotional satisfaction, all those things that come with a loving relationship. Maybe they don't want to have kids, and that's fine, too. Perhaps she could find someone to pair bond with. And if she doesn't like working so hard, she could find a man who makes more than she does. Really, that's it. I think modern feminism has created this world that has resulted in this expectation that is going to leave a lot of women struggling. The reason why I was saying early on that, you know, women never did these things, they never lived on their own like this, women didn't work. And you could argue is that women were considered property, whatever you want to say. You can say it was their rights were oppressed. Fine, believe whatever you want to believe. That's fine. But that was what it was. I'll put it this way. When I was growing up, I had been homeless several times. Slept on park benches here and there. Eventually got a car and slept in a car. And I actually didn't think it was that bad. But I'm a dude. I'm a guy. I could, I don't know. I'll figure it out. I'll do what I have to do. For a lot of reasons, I don't think women are comfortable in those kinds of circumstances. Notably, there was one story about an Antarctic researcher who complained of sexism in science because they did not have porta potties placed in the Antarctic region where she could go to the bathroom. Because men can relieve themselves very easily just by unzipping their pants. But women, not so much. She wrote this long article about how she tried using funnels and things like this. And my point is simply, men and women are very different. And women probably would not enjoy living in this kind of circumstance. That being said, when I was growing up, there was one reason why women were not homeless and men were. Why men are 5 times more likely to be homeless. Look, I got to be honest. This young woman right here, if she really wanted to, could find a 45-year-old millionaire guy who is going to take care of her and cover everything. That's the reality. This is what gender roles have typically always been. And if she's lucky, the guy's not even going to expect anything from her. If she's lucky, she could find a man who is well off, older, successful, owns a lot of property, and he's going to say, I would love to spend time with you, blah, blah, blah. And they form a relationship. Maybe she doesn't want that. That's fine. But that's the advantage that women have in these traditional gender norms that men do not. There are certainly men who can find sugar mamas. But when I was growing up, the women I knew who struggled always had a place to live. Always. Not every single one. I knew some women who I grew up with who turned out to be very homeless and it's unfortunate, drug use and things like this. But for me, when I was like 19, yeah, I've got nowhere to go. And ain't nobody wants to let you stay there. Just absolutely not. That's the reality of it. And, you know, I eventually had friends and they said, we've got space for you. We're going to charge you X amount. And I say, you got it, man. I'm willing to do whatever it takes. Was cleaning up at a bar, played guitar in the subway. I said, I'm going to make money. I'm going to figure it out. And I got by. I did. As for the women that I knew, they would just say, I'm broke, I can't afford it, and they'd move in with their boyfriends, on average. That's a reality. I think it's important to recognize what we're dealing with right now. Young people aren't forming relationships the same way. Things cost substantially more, but there are traditional gender role solutions to what this woman is experiencing. Not that I think she should have to, but I just don't, I don't know how we get to this world where single female individual can afford to live entirely by herself forever. That is the epitome of luxury. These are the things that are going to result in a stunted generation. They're going to result in a lack of population growth. And then without population growth, no, the system breaks. Our entire system is predicated upon there will be more young people to do work than old people. And so what you get with Democrats is a mass influx of criminal aliens and non-citizens to try and supplement this. But the problem is it's unsustainable. Young people now are trying to live lives that we've never lived before. I don't know where this assumption comes from, but it is just not true. Maybe it's from watching TV and seeing friends and they have these big apartments and always some explanation as to how these people live this way. Some people argue she should have roommates. I think it's actually really simple. She should live with her parents. She should live with her parents and be saving money until she gets to the point in her career where she can do something. I will add, however, everyone has been stunted. And I can't really explain why. I think it has a lot to do with cultural decay and our economic system as it stands. I hear a lot from people, they say, there's never a right time to have a family. You can wait and wait and wait. There's just, it's never going to happen. You're either going to do it or you're not. I certainly know people who had kids in their teen when they were teens and they've become successful. And I can say for me, because many people are like, how come you're not married with a family and you're 38? You know, I thought about it. And I go back to, you know, even when I was in my mid to late 20s. And I suppose growing up for me, what you should be to a point historically where when you're 18, you like have a trade and you're providing some skill to the community. This allows you to make money and then you find a family and there's a dowry of some sort. No, I was homeless when I was a teenager. I was making $10.75 an hour and then eventually $11.75 an hour working at an airport. Barely was making any money. I couldn't even afford an apartment. It was impossible, quite literally impossible. And I had a union job. $11 an hour was not enough for me to afford the vehicle to get to work. And so eventually I was like, this is impossible. I'm done. I left. I quit. I've got to figure something else out. And then I should say I got lucky and found a nonprofit work, which eventually got me to a salary range of around $35,000 a year. And then all of a sudden I was like, I got some money now to spend. And I still could not afford to get an apartment. This is in Los Angeles and Chicago. I could not afford to get an apartment on my own. There's no way I'm having a family crammed in a 3-bedroom with 4 people. And I could not afford the down payment or security deposit to get my own apartment. It just wasn't happening. So I suppose at a time when I'm in like my early 20s, when most people would expect your family to have already begun, I had no means to even do that. I can't speak for everybody else, but that was my story. I suppose it's fair to say around 28, 29 is when I certainly could have begun that process. And I think for me, what happens is growing up the way I did results in I have to make sure I've got the next 5-10 years planned out income wise. Otherwise, I'll be back to living on, you know, I don't want to pretend like I was living on the streets. I was homeless, sleeping in a car periodically. And it was like, you know, a couple times here and there. But you don't want to go back to that. You want to build a base you can sustain yourself on. I think that's what most people are looking for. Ultimately, my point is this. What we're looking at is going back in time, a person in their 20s could have had a general concept of stability in play. And for me and for many millennials and now many Gen Z, there is no place where that's a reality. And living at home with your family is not a reality either. It's just not the same anymore. I don't know necessarily what the solution is. What I can say outright is we've never lived this way. We need to get back to living with our families. That's what used to be. It used to be like 3 generations living in one house or around each other. Now that's not the case. Now that's this idea that you're 18, you leave, you go off to college, you rack up tons of debt. Good luck. That ain't going to fly. The other thing I can say is in the short term. Not that I'm telling you have to like Donald Trump, but I'm telling you right now, you vote for Joe Biden and you make this worse. Their plan for economics is macro, not micro. They want to bring in a mass influx of criminal aliens, give them resources, because they think it'll bolster the economy in general. But this will leave Gen Z and millennials behind. It will stunt their ability to actually develop, and it will long-term destroy this country. A vote for Donald Trump means the economy is going to get better for you, and your opportunities to live comfortably and have a family and succeed will become more likely. It was wild what was happening in 2019. People were saying that I'd run into so many people that they never made more money in their lives. They were living comfortably. Their dreams were coming true. It's when we started building the Timcast IRL, the first studio, when I said, let's make a nightly show of some sort. I was doing only the morning show. And so it was the end of 2019, beginning of 2020, when I went to a furniture store to buy the initial setup for the first studio. And it was just like some table I bought and some chairs. And the saleswoman said, you know, I spent $5,000. And she's like, this has been the best year of my life. I've never made more money. And then COVID happened. Sure. Well, people thought that voting against Donald Trump would help them. And after the past 4 years, things have only gotten worse. Food costs are through the roof. I can't even believe it. Now, I'll stress this point too. This whole video was basically focused on just this young woman being like, why can't I live this way? And I'm like, yeah, young women never lived this way. Barely any young men live this way. But I will stress, there are many videos from fathers who have families and have trade jobs who are saying, I can't afford it anymore. We talked about one just last week where the guy said, $120 for two dinners, two nights of dinner, not even breakfast. It used to be $100 to get you groceries for the week for your family, for your wife and your kids. You got two kids. Certainly what we're seeing is a massive problem. I don't know how you solve for this. People can say work more, but that's not a solution. Sometimes there's just no work. I think the criminal alien crisis is going to add to this. People are going to be fighting over what little work there is to be done. And now you've got AI developments, which are going to start displacing more and more jobs. The left's response will be universal basic income. They're going to go to young women like this and say, how about we give you $500 a month, universal basic income? It'll help you cover that cost of rent. All that will do is make the problem worse. Universal basic income will create a general increase in costs. It won't solve the problem. They'll try to play the game of taxation as a means of pulling money from the market. Sure. But in the end, more people being given free money just means that prices will go up. There's no easy answer to this. It's a cultural problem. And I think it starts with border security. I can make a million and one videos because there's about this, because there's so many videos of young people saying it's a struggle. I guess the harsh reality is young people today were sold a bill of lies. You can't live this way. Good luck. Be an influencer. Get rich. If you're rich, maybe you can live this way. Here I am now. Things are going pretty well, but we have our struggles, certainly not related to this. I would say that I have zero risk of ever being homeless again. Not just because I own a lot of property and I'm wealthy, but because I've got a trailer that I own and I can park on a plot of land that's like a quarter acre and I can live in a trailer. It's great. I got an RV. It's really nice. The company's got one for mobile studio, but we got our own personal one. And so at a certain point, you know, you can figure it out. But I suppose I should say most people don't want to live in the wilderness, in a rural area, in an RV. But solutions exist. And with the ability to work remotely, it is entirely possible to live in a van down by the river and actually have stuff. Not that people want that. But if you want to live in an apartment in the city, don't be surprised if they say you can't. We'll see how it goes. Best of luck to this young woman. I recommend getting married. Seriously, you know, and then you'll have a dual income. Next segment is coming up tonight. Let's say 6 p.m. Next segment's coming up at 6 p.m. on this channel. Thanks for hanging out, and I'll see you all then. So Elon Musk was going to hire or something Don Lemon, do some content deal with him on X. And a lot of us were like, ah, oh, cringe, don't hire Don Lemon. And I think Elon Musk realized what he walked into when he did an interview with Don Lemon and then was like, well, that was underwhelming. That sucked. Let's cancel this deal. Now, Don Lemon is trying to make it seem like he challenged Elon Musk and Musk couldn't handle the tough questions. I love how even Fox is reporting this. Elon Musk snaps at Don Lemon. Okay. You know the big news is? They launched their third test of Starship. the heaviest space vehicle ever launched. It is one of the most important things humanity has ever done. And Elon Musk's work with SpaceX may be the most important work of this generation. And the reason I say not of humanity, despite the fact it's a tremendous leap, is that there have been many times in history when important things happened that weren't just this one singular thing. The most important thing for humanity could be like, I don't know, the invention of irrigation or something. But in my lifetime, the work that he's doing on SpaceX is the most important thing ever. So I'm a big fan. I'm a big fan of Elon Musk. There are very few people I'm actually a fan of, to be completely honest. But got to give it to him for SpaceX, if anything else. But I do tremendously respect the work he's doing on X, despite the fact I have been critical on, say, like the misgendering policy. So I think outside of all the free speech stuff and all that, a lot of it is, to a certain degree, stamp collecting when it comes to the work of traveling the stars and colonizing other planets and developing new technologies. That being said, if we don't win the political battle, we don't go to the stars. And so it's very important that we actually do win these political battles. But the big news is that Don Lemon says his deal was canceled. Now, of course, the news came out yesterday, but we do have a clip from the interview that has been released that I think we should definitely play here. It aired on CNN, which I also find absolutely hilarious. CNN fires Don Lemon. Then Don Lemon goes on CNN and says, hey, look what Elon Musk was saying. Here's the reporting from Fox News. Musk snaps at Don Lemon over questions about hate speech on X. Don't have to answer questions from reporters. Dude, I'm gonna play the audio for you, my friends, and you're going to be like, that's not snapping. That's literally him answering the question in a calm, but perhaps, I don't know, what's the right word? It wasn't like there wasn't a little bit of animosity. Terse. That's how I describe it. I was like, is that the word I'm thinking of? Here you go.
Hate speech on the platform is up. Do you believe that X and you have some responsibility to moderate hate speech on the platform? That you wouldn't have to answer these questions from reporters about the great replacement theory as it relates to
Democrats?
I don't
have to answer these questions.
The great replacement theory as it relates to Jewish people. Do you think that?
I don't have to answer questions from reporters. Don, the only reason I'm doing this interview is because you're on the X platform and you asked for it.
He's not snapping at all. They really want to make this seem like Elon got offended by something Don Lemon did, so he fired him. When if you actually read into it, apparently the statement from X is basically that it was just not a good interview. It was like bad content.
Otherwise, I would not do this interview.
So you don't think, do you think that you wouldn't get in trouble or you wouldn't be criticized for these things?
I'm criticized constantly. I could care less.
It was a call. I just love how the media is so full of it. Don Lemon grasping at straws because he sucks. Look, Don Lemon sucks. Chris Cuomo sucks. Aaron Burnett sucks. Anderson Cooper, he's actually kind of okay, you know, C+. He's got some better stuff in his earlier career. Caitlin Collins, no good. Did I say her already? Cuomo, yeah. These people aren't good. They are generic people who for some reason get put on camera because they seem to be able to do the job of reading a prompter. When you actually want to make interesting content, you get nothing from the likes of Don Lemon. So what is Elon Musk actually going, what brain stimulation will possibly occur in a sit-down conversation with Don Lemon? Here's my assumption. Lemon sits down with Musk. He says some stupid questions, and Elon's going, what is this? These are generic, rudimentary questions that don't actually solve or advance the conversation in any way. So I've been asked personally to appear on many shows. I turned them down. Like Real Time with Bill Maher, for instance. Now, I've not been, and I stress this, no one from the actual show has ever reached out to me. People in the periphery of the show who are friends with them have asked me, hey, like, I want to get you on that show. Let me talk to them. No, I wouldn't go on that show because it wouldn't advance the conversation in any meaningful way. Bill Maher is woefully underinformed and unprepared for real conversations. Club Random, I would do. They turned us down when we reached out to them. We were trying to find a way to get Bill on our show because I think a general conversation with Bill could work. But in terms of his show, what do you get out of it? They're behind the curve. Their opinions are ill-informed. And it's just a detriment to the conversation. This is how I view Don Lemon. Elon probably sat down. Don asked a bunch of cookie cutter level one surface layer questions. And Elon was probably like, I've answered all of this before. That's a year old. Is this what your show is going to be? I don't think we should do a deal with these guys. So they go on. Burnett asks him what happened. What happened? I don't know. He went on. As I said in my statement, I felt really good about the interview. Therein lies the big problem. You couldn't see it. I said to him as we were doing the interview, and it was intense moments, I think it's good that people see folks like you and I who have different worldviews come together and talk. As he says, have free speech. Apparently doesn't matter to Elon Musk. Because he's not paying you, dude? Come on. It's just for talking points for more rhetoric. Because it doesn't seem to matter when it's about him. Questions about him from people like me. He concluded, free speech is only important when someone you don't like, or I would say someone who doesn't have the same point of view, if they're allowed to speak freely and say their point of view. This is why, right here, Elon probably said no to Don Lemon. When he said, it's just talking points for him, there he goes with the crackpot fake narrative. What are you talking about? Because he's not giving you money, you think he doesn't care about free speech? It's the stupidest thing imaginable. I think they go on to clarify here. Quote, Don was underwhelming, unprepared, and dull, the insider continued. Although Swisher claimed they clashed over questions about Musk's alleged drug use, the source claimed Lemon failed to ask any interesting or edgy questions. He didn't ask Musk about Amber Heard. Elon probably would have liked it. He was unpolished. He didn't have producers in his ear. Jeff Zucker used to be in his ear, and he would repeat back everything he was told. They said, noting that Lemon had only bare-bones crew that included his fiancée. Another former CNN anchor, Brian Seltzer, who weighed into the argument on X, claimed a source told him the interview was like a bad first date. Lemon's appearance on his old network came after he released a scathing statement where he insisted he would still air the episode on March 18th, but on YouTube instead. Burnett went on to produce a clip from the interview. In it, Lemon is seen asking Musk, who was talking about the reins of his site formerly known as Twitter, has had a desire for a platform with zero censorship, about hate speech and great replacement theory. Elon Musk has brought up the fact, straight up fact, that we don't count citizenship on the census. So congressional seats are apportioned based on total population, whether they're citizens or not. Democrats gain power from this, and they want to encourage it. This is not a theory. It is a stated fact of Democrat policy when people like Van Jones have gone on CNN and said this. And then CNN asks befuddled and confused that Elon would dare say such a thing. This is the game they play with Donald Trump. Trump, I loved this during the Trump administration. There'd be a news report and it would be like, France says they're going to raise taxes on the middle class. And then Trump would go to a rally and be like, and now you got this Macron, he wants to raise taxes and it's no good. You can't do it. And then the media would come out and be like, Trump falsely claims France will raise taxes. And I'd be sitting there being like, wait, what? I read that story from you. And then Trump repeats it at a rally because he read it on your platform. And then you came out the next day and claimed it was fake. They would do that all the time. This is what CNN is doing right here. They will have Van Jones on and other Democrats say things like immigration is good and we have to recognize that the white majority will decline as we encourage more immigration, but ultimately that's good for democracy. And then Elon Musk says, hey, they're saying they want to do this. And they go, nuh-uh, we never said that. That's a racist theory. That's what Don Lemon represents. So I can throw a little criticism towards Elon. Did you not see this coming? Elon's not a media guy. But I think he's starting to realize what the media represents when right now, I love this. The reporting is that SpaceX failed. Let me see if I can pull this up because this one's going mad viral. Let me pull up the news. Here we go. Let's see what we got. I don't know what it's going to say. I'm just going to read it. News about Starlink. I click news. SpaceX's Starship notches major flight test milestones, breaks up over Indian Ocean. Fair. Space.com, SpaceX launches giant Starship rocket into space on epic third test flight. Fair. Highlights from SpaceX Starship test flight, New York Times. Very fair. Well, right on. There was a bunch of news articles that were popping up saying that right afterwards that they lost the vessel, the main structure of it, because there's separation. I don't know how to describe it. And so I'm not seeing that now. So I can say right on. That's good. Immediately after this happens, they say, like, SpaceX test flight lost, and they always do this. There was a SpaceX test flight where it blew up in midair, and all of the reports were like, test explosion, failure. When the test itself was aborted, and it was intentional, it was doing as intended. When you're testing the rocket, they want to get into orbit, they did, and they're like, okay, let's see if we can successfully land it. You're not going to get it on your first try. the media reports immediately like, oh, it failed. It's like, no, that was a success. We're trying to build a ship that can return. This is one of the coolest things ever, by the way. But my point is mostly this. Elon's been through this. And the more and more they lie about his projects, Tesla, the Tesla stock and everything, I think Elon starts to realize, even when you play ball, they come after you. Tesla, they keep lying about Tesla incessantly. And now they go after him to seize his money. Dude, I'll tell you about this one. That certainly wakes Elon up to what the news is doing. But I'll tell you about the Tesla stuff because I'm a Tesla shareholder. I've got a decent amount of Tesla shares. I do not have, not, I've got several hundred shares. And so some guy sues and takes Elon's pay package away. Now Tesla, they're saying Tesla's going to drop. Of course, you're taking away the payment from the CEO, the guy who's leading the company. Look, man, I invest in this company under the assumption that Elon will succeed and wants to be rich and likes making money and is good at it. You attack the CEO in this way, you are hurting the company. I'm pissed about that whole thing. I think Elon Musk is, when it comes to knowledge of culture, news, I give him a C+. Right? He's paying attention more than most. He's recognizing things many people don't recognize. He's interacting with all of us, and he tends to try to do a good job. I think the man has honor. I feel bad when I come out and say, I'm pulling my ads because of the misgendering policy. And then he immediately responds saying, like, I agree, we're going to fix this. I'm like, I kind of feel bad because, man, that's respect. Not that he's actually solving the problem in the immediate, but it's more than you get from almost anyone. So I have tremendous respect for that. You know, that being said, I don't expect him to know literally everything about everything. And so when he decides to hire Don Lemon and it's a mistake, well, there you go. Now they're going to lie about him once again and justify exactly why Don Lemon gets the boot. Say, Lovey, I think we're winning in the long run. This is a cultural victory, and I'm glad to see it. I'll leave it there. Next segment is coming up tonight at 8 p.m. over at youtube.com/TimcastIRL. Thanks for hanging out, and I'll see you all then.